Welcome to The Hawkins Report, a Stranger Things podcast presented to you by LSG Media. Well, 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 what have we here? Except an LSG Media reunion around The Hawkins Report, a Stranger Things podcast, a day that many didn't think would come. A day, Jessica, that people thought was lost in the annals of history.
And then there was the coronavirus. Thank you, COVID-19.
If there's one positive takeaway, it's that we are forced into isolation and forced to do things to entertain ourselves. In all seriousness, we'll just get it out of the way. Obviously, Jessica and I have very busy lives and schedules. And we had intention of doing Stranger Things season 3. It got shuffled away many times over. We are very crazy, busy individuals. And that's kind of an excuse. I will say there was no excuse for the poor communication. I really apologize. I think both her and I had thought, I think we're going to do it. I think we can do it this week or next week or in 3 weeks or in 1 month or in 2 months. And then it became apparent that that was just not going to happen. Well, the good news is now it is finally fucking happening and I'm pumped. And I wasn't until I sat down to watch the show, to be honest with you. Jessica was like, look, I have time. We can do this now. Let's do it. And I was like, all right, I guess. I don't really care. I didn't even watch it. So another thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's really cool about this experience is that I have not seen season 3 yet. So much like our Battlestar Galactica podcast, I am going to be utterly spoiler free through each episode. Jessica has seen all of it and I have not. So we're going to have a much different situation, which is really cool. So I'm pumped about doing this. And I am sure that you are too, Jessica, but I don't want to speak for you. Talk to me a little bit without giving me any spoilers. I mean, here you are sitting at the podcasting table. You've committed to a podcasting project, and it's been a long time, and I think that people want to hear from you.
Yeah, you know, I figured it was time. Stranger Things got its day. It got shuffled. It just wasn't fair, truly. You know, before season 4 becomes a thing, clearly we need to, you know, discuss what happened. And now when everyone's wondering what they're going to watch on TV, you might as well just rewatch the show and listen to us talk about it and give us some feedback. Because, you know, I feel like Stranger Things is always a fun show you can watch kind of whenever.
I agree. And it kind of won out over Westworld, to be frank, because mm-hmm. Westworld is another show that we covered. And we have been thinking a lot about that. And we are going to give Westworld the Mandalorian treatment, as we call it, which is essentially we're going to do an episode at the mid-season break, or there's no break, but at the mid-season and then at the end of the season. So two episodes we're going to give to this season of Westworld coming up, which is kind of neat. And to be honest with you, I actually really like that format. It's a very open-ended discussion, usually 90 minutes to 2 hours. So the whole season will get, you know, 3-4 hours. And that works. But Stranger Things is a little bit different. We wanted to get in there and have a lot of fun. It has a large following that, frankly, we kind of let down. So hopefully, if you're still subscribed to the podcast, this episode's popping up as a surprise to you. Of course, we'll push it all over social media. And I was aligned with Jess on the Stranger Things episode by episode thing. I think it's the right choice.
Yeah, I wasn't going to really budge on that. I'm very serious about Stranger Things getting its full you know, rundown of the season. Especially like, again, I've already seen it. Dean has not.
Yes.
So it'll be very interesting. This has never really happened before.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's, trust me, it's a hard seat to sit in because when I do the BSG one, sometimes when you want to give thoughts, you have to be careful because you're spoiling it. Sometimes by not saying things, you spoil things. So sometimes it's just weird. So it'll be an interesting experiment for season 3. Come season 4, you and I will both be spoiler free, which will be different.
Right.
But we'll for this one, it will be different. And yeah, you know, we've been also doing things a little bit different in LSG Media since Stranger Things. I just looked, our finale, Jessica, was me, you, Josh, and Matt.
All four of us did the finale?
All four of us did the finale. Josh and I did not agree on the use of Billy in the season. We discussed that at length.
My boyfriend? Billy's not my boyfriend. He's my anti-boyfriend. Jesus Christ, this one's had a heart attack.
So just for point of reference, that episode dropped in December of 2017. And what has happened since 2017? Well, the Science Fiction Film Podcast is no more. We now have the Lost Drive-In Podcast. We've changed our formatting pretty extensively. We still talk about things sometimes sequentially, but we won't always. And it doesn't really matter. We're just going to talk about what we want to talk about. But with episode one, I was like, there's a lot of setup here. So I did take quite a few notes just so I can properly set the stage for myself, having not seen this before. And boy, I took some notes. We're diving in.
I didn't take any notes, but...
But you've seen it twice. Oh, wow. I've only seen it once. So.
I mean, it's been a long time since I saw it originally.
So Susie, do you copy is the first episode of the scene. And we've got some shit to talk about. Number one, I know we have the whole lab scene and in what I assume is some kind of creation of or breaking into the Upside Down by a bunch of Russian dudes. And then we get the Russian music, and the guy does the Darth Vader move. I'm like, this is a shout out to Darth Vader. He chokes the guy, throws him.
Yeah, he does.
But I got to dive right into something immediately, which is, ew, ugh, kids, horny children.
Oh, yeah. Dean had a really difficult time watching Eleven and Mike make out.
Oh, my God. What happened between one season? They went from little innocent children to vile, disgusting teenagers.
Even think about like season one and like 11 and how she like didn't even like talk and she was like so awkward and such a child. And now she's like making out with people.
Ugh.
It's concerning.
I'm not ready for it. Also, what's his name? I'm going to start calling him Finney Mercury. He looks like a little Freddie Mercury now because he's all angular. His face, he looks like a little angular kid.
Same as Mike Wheeler. No. Or Finn Wolfhard.
Finn Mercury is his name now. Finney.
He's in everything now. He's in every fucking movie, this kid.
Also, I love that right out of the gate, Hopper is really starting to try to practice social distancing. He has his own COVID-19 fears. But I just want him to know 3 inches is not sufficient, according to the CDC.
Yeah, he's got
to
go the full 6 feet.
He needs 6 feet between these kids to stop the spread of their vile, disgusting faces. Ugh. Anyway, it's not going to work. But horny children right out of the gate is weird to me. That's strange. And we have this whole dynamic that has now entered this show, which is these kids are gangly, goofy-looking teenagers. So I'm just like, oh my word, how am I going to be okay with this? It's funny because one of the things you've always said in discussing shows that ever have a kid in it is you're always like, how are we going to do this indefinitely?
Correct.
And I started to feel that immediately.
Shows have that. It's a big, big problem for a lot of shows. Obviously, Lost being a huge proponent of having to basically cut out an entire storyline because of a kid aging too fast.
And that's what I'm seeing here. Yes. Like, I almost feel, but part of me likes the way the Duffer Brothers kind of lean into this. Because what we're seeing is this awkward division in the friends, which is what happens as we become teenagers.
Right.
And it's funny, as I'm watching it, and you know, I'm making jokes about the kids and it being gross and shit, and I'm being really hyperbolic. But one thing that really hit home for me in watching this first episode was going, damn, I feel the anxiety of like friendships drifting apart. Like I started to feel it in my chest. I was like, oh, I don't like the way this feels. Because I was the fucking Will kid.
Yeah.
I was like, can we play D&D? Where is everyone?
Everyone's like, I'm making out with my girlfriend, bro.
Yeah. And
Dustin's like, I got a girlfriend. I swear. I met her on the internet.
Yeah, of course. Everybody has that friend. Where's your girlfriend? In Spain. She's a model.
Yeah, the picture is like a picture of like some famous celebrity when she was like 15. Like, oh, that's her. I swear.
Hotter than Phoebe Cates, which is not possible in that time period. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, I was like, who is Phoebe Cates?
Yeah, coming out of the pool with the.
Yeah.
But no, it's just. They really do a good job of capturing that sense of almost anxiousness that you feel. But you do, even when Dustin, he's like, I just got home and his friends aren't answering. And there's a lot of, I feel a lot of thematic changes to Stranger Things as it relates to their aging. And to go back to the point I made, which is a point you made before I ever did, was this idea of this lack of, like it can't be indefinite. Watching this episode made me feel like we're in the home stretch of the whole show's life now. Right. Now we're at the beginning of the end. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many seasons they plan.
I think they're just going to do one more.
I didn't read anything about this. I didn't read anything about anything in the future. I don't even know what contracts are. I stay away from all that. But I felt like, okay, this is the beginning of the end. Like, because of their aging. It just gets too weird because it's built on the charm of them being children.
Right.
And they're kind of growing out of being children, even though they'll be children, as far as I'm concerned, until they're fucking 20.
Right. But there's just a different, like, feeling around a show when they're, like, young and doing these certain things. And it's like, oh, Mike and Elle kiss at the dance. That's so cute. And then the next season, they're, like, making out. And you're like, oh, but no. Like, mm-hmm. it just feels, like, so awkward.
It is. And I think that's, again, I think the Duffers are kind of leaning the script into the awkward because it is supposed to be awkward. You're a teenager.
Right, right, right.
And I think that kind of works for me.
Right. Except that you have to watch them make out.
Except you have to watch them make out.
Poor Hopper.
Poor Hopper. He's got to figure out what to say.
Hopper's losing his shit, though. I'm pretty sure. He looks like he's like leaning heavily into the alcoholism and getting fat due to the fact he has a teenage daughter.
I know everyone's on Hopper dad bod. I feel like he looks worse. He looks like bloated to me.
Yeah, he does not look good in this episode.
Yeah, is it just this one? Because everyone's his dad bod. And I hadn't seen it yet.
A dad bod is a negative thing.
No, but they were using it as a positive thing. Ask your girl, Andrea. She'll tell you all about it. She already blew up the Facebook about it like a year ago.
The only dad bod that I'm really into is like Leonardo DiCaprio's dad bod.
Yeah, but specifically Leonardo DiCaprio worked at fucking Target, you wouldn't be at his dad.
I don't know. I might be. Okay. I'll have to get back to you on that.
Chicks are such liars. They're like, oh, I don't mind his dad bod. I'm like, yeah, because he's on a fucking yacht taking selfies.
I wish that sounds like fun.
If he was in a shitty fucking Honda Civic leaving his Target shift, and I'm not besmirching Target employees. Everybody relax. What I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. How dare you talk about Target like that?
I'm pointing out the shallow nature of the female. That's all. That's what I'm
about
here
the
for.
Shallow? Yeah, yeah. Which leans into freaking Mrs. Wheeler. Shallow nature of the female.
The shallow nature of the female. No, she's fucking Mr. Wheeler. And we already have established that he's a serial killer. So, of course, she's going to be wanting to fucking get poked by that young, muscly man.
No, it's not. It is very awkward and cringy for me.
It's pretty hilarious.
It's very cringy. Mrs. Wheeler's really pretty, though.
She is. She's like 47, 8 years old.
She's 47, 8?
47 or 48. So before we even talk about that, there's a couple other things that I want to establish.
Okay.
I like that we're seeing the whole mall piece. Mm-hmm. It's cool because they're talking about, because even Nancy brings it up like, oh, the mall, it's making these other stores close. But this is like the boom of the mall. And it's so funny to think about this. And you kind of said this. Remember when you could go to malls making a COVID joke? But just in general, like since Amazon, malls have vanished.
And even like small businesses, like now it's almost like the opposite because malls are not busy anymore. And a lot of them have closed down. And like the mall that I hung out at when I was in junior high and high school, you know, when you just walked around the mall until it closed every Friday. Because what else were you going to do when you're in junior high and high school? Maybe you held hands with your boyfriends. Maybe you got some food at the food court. Maybe you walked across the street to the movie theater. But anyways, that mall for me has now closed down.
Maybe you shoplifted.
It's like a part of my childhood is over.
Maybe you shoplifted some books.
One time I shoplifted like lip gloss from a Claire's. My friend Tanya at the time talked me into it and I was so paranoid that I ended up crying and calling my dad to come pick me up. I never told him I stole it. I kept it, but.
Did you blame Tanya for your malcontent?
Yeah. And then our friendship was never the same.
Well, that's fucked up.
Every night I looked at that lip gloss and I was like, why did I do this?
What bothers me about myself at the time was that I shoplifted books sometimes when I was a teenager.
And you were like, this is for the greater good. It's like
and
the
I
library.
I was like, I don't care. I felt no remorse.
Oh, God.
I only feared getting caught.
No, who didn't feel remorse when Winona Ryder, when she shoplifted all that stuff too. She knows that life.
Nice connection.
I know.
I'm glad you brought it back to Joyce.
Sure did. In her shoplifting days.
Joyce in her fucking shoplifting days.
Who knew?
But I guess probably the best way to handle this, other than the way we are, is to just kind of do touchstones on each character.
Like, yeah, let's talk about where all our friends
are
where
they?
They've been, where do we think they'll go?
Where was Dustin? Also, when Dustin's toys started moving across the room, I just couldn't wait for his mom's like vibrator to be vibrating across
the
kitchen floor.
Poor Dustin's mom.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's happening. Right next to the R2-D2.
Oh, my God. Dustin's an only child, and he had the cat, and the cat died.
I mean, if
you know anything about Dustin's actual family life?
If that was my son, I'd probably split too.
I love Dustin. He's like my favorite other than Steve Harrington. Oh my God.
Steve, please.
Don't even start with me about Steve. Okay?
Well, who do you want to talk about next?
You can pick.
Oh, I can pick.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about I guess there's not much to say about Dustin because Dustin's going to be like the catalyst for this communication that's going to lead us to our story.
We can talk about that he was away at camp and no one else was away at camp and he supposedly has a girlfriend. That's all we got on Dustin.
Right, which I don't know anything about. I don't think he would bring all his friends out there to be lying to them about it. So there must be somebody named Susie he's talking to. You know, I don't know.
Believe him. You don't think he's a liar like we all did when we were in junior high.
Right.
I'm not saying that I ever made up a fake boyfriend, but I'm not saying that I didn't make up a fake boyfriend.
Oh boy. We always had people with the fakes in other countries. Those people are the best. Yeah, you don't know her. Her name is Oblivion or something weird.
Oh my God.
She lives in a fucking Madrid. Does she?
She's Mormon. Our parents wouldn't approve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But let's talk about Nancy. Let's talk about Jonathan.
Okay, I don't care about them.
Still together.
Sorry.
kind of boring so far.
I feel like I didn't care about them like once they like actually like were together. I was like, okay, I'm bored with them now.
It's now boring.
Like they're boring.
It's become rote.
Yeah, it's like I'm not interested. I'm not interested in the storyline. I don't care that they're together. I don't really care what either of them is doing. I feel like
because Jonathan,
I'm bored
Jonathan's kind of become normal.
Yeah, Jonathan's not a good character anymore. That's the problem.
Well, be careful of your spoilers.
As of right now.
Okay.
I mean, maybe Jonathan becomes the most amazing character. Who knows?
I doubt you'd be
maybe
saying
I like Billy now. Who knows? A lot of things could happen, but they probably don't. So.
Who knows? And what is she? Are we seeing chauvinism in America with this?
Yeah, of course, obviously.
Of course.
Because Nancy's like the tough chick and she's always doing like, you know.
So where does she work?
It's a newspaper.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. It's a newspaper. Got it.
Jonathan is taking pictures for the paper, and she's basically an errand girl.
Oh, so he's like man's club. Photo journalist?
I mean, that's what it...
Or a photographer, just a photographer.
Like, he's in the red room or whatever the fuck you call the room where you make prints of pictures. I don't know what it's called.
The red room.
Yeah, and he was in the red room. He was mad because Nancy came in.
I think it's called a dark room.
He said,
now.
Nancy, get out of this red room. Well, yeah, dark room. That is what it's called.
I think you're thinking something from The Shining. Red room.
I'm thinking of actually like the real Illuminati and like when you go through, there's like a secret red room. Like who knows what happens in there?
Who knows? But the floors are slippery.
Ew.
But so Dustin's been away. She works, so that's how she's going to either get information or get information out. We're seeing all the setup.
She's, with Nancy, because she gets the call at the end about diseased rats or whatever.
Diseased rats. We have the whole flirt scene between Billy and Mrs. Wheeler. And I just was watching it and I was like, is Mr. Wheeler like dead? Did I miss something?
Dean literally thought, Mr. Wheeler's dead. And then it showed him. And Dean was like, oh, good. I thought he was dead and I forgot. We literally watched a recap. I'm like, don't you think if Mr. Wheeler was dead, it might have been in the recap of like the season before?
I just couldn't believe how brazen Mrs. Wheeler was about going to fuck this child.
Mr. Wheeler is so like oblivious to anything that happens in the world because he's too busy murdering fucking prostitutes he picks up on the street and burying them in a fucking basement.
We talked about him having a penchant for snagging runaways.
Yeah, and that is what he does. And Mrs. Wheeler's like, it's my time now.
It's my time now. I'm going to snag something for myself.
I want to be a sexual predator of my own right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think he might be technically an adult.
Billy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know.
I guess, yeah, he must be. He must be 18.
You see them fucking. That body's a dull girl.
Ew. I hate Billy.
Suntan lotion.
He's very, like, cringy.
He kind of looks like a lost boy at this point.
He does look like
when
a
he
lost
puts the
boy.
Leather on and he's in his car.
He looks like, that's actually a good. He's a lost could be boy. A vampire for sure.
You're one of us, Michael.
You could be a vampire for sure.
You're eating maggots, Michael. How do they taste? But, so we got that whole dalliance or whatever they say is just never, doesn't really come to fruition. I think she gets cold feet is the point. She sees,
no, she was going. Then she saw her husband, so we don't know if she actually went.
Right. My point, I think she got cold feet. When I didn't, here's why I thought he was dead, because I was just, it was so brazen.
Here's what I thought.
Number two, he's such a non-factor.
That he could be dead and we could all forget and it wouldn't matter.
Maybe he's just suffered that type of metaphorical death and his body's still here.
Yeah.
Like, I guess. He's not fully dead yet. He's only mostly dead.
Mentally.
Yeah.
Cognitively.
Yes, that's for sure.
There's nothing left.
So I'm going to check in on them. I don't know what this is going to be, but I think Billy's in trouble. I think he's in fucking going to be in tough shape. He got dragged into this random basement somewhere by monsters. So I don't know what Billy's fate will be. I'm assuming that whatever romantic entanglements he planned to get involved with Miss Wheeler are not going to happen now that he's been dragged away into a basement. I don't really see the Duffer brothers in Stranger Things based on the content of this show to a smash cut to him plowing Miss Wheeler in a hotel somewhere, because I don't think they're interested in telling that story. I just think they wanted some comic relief between the two characters. It's not going to be like this real, you know, we're not watching fucking Body Heat. This isn't like it's Stranger Things. It's not going to be like a fucking woman, an older-ish woman cheating on her husband with some young, disreputable man.
I can't wait until episode two starts and it starts with them boning and Dean's like, fuck.
Remember when True Blood would do all those great smash cuts to Jason banging somebody? They'd talk and then the cut was so goddamn funny.
It was like so like Arrested Development-esque, like when they they do like the weird like directing, and they always just do that in True Blood with Jason Statham.
It was so God, funny.
That is funny.
My point is, I don't think Stranger Things is going to go there. That's not going to happen, right?
Like, he looks like a vampire. We know this vampire show. There you go.
You're bringing it back.
Blonde.
So Steve can't get laid. Was checking on Steve. He can't get laid.
Steve Harrington has a great and deep storyline that's not just about him not getting laid, okay?
Is it, where does it get great in between him scooping ice cream or putting on the jimmies on top or the
sprinkles? The whole time, it's great. Okay, Steve Harrington, poor Steve Harrington, you know, he couldn't get into a college, so now he has to work, and he's watching all the people he graduated with going off to college and doing all these cool things, and he used to be cool, and now he's not cool anymore, probably because he got involved with all these kids and helped them save the world, and now he can't get a girlfriend, he works in an ice cream place, he can't go to college, and he has to watch all the people that used to think he was cool go away and not respect him.
So,
and I care deeply for him, for this storyline. I blame Nancy Wheeler for all of this when she went and slutted around with Jonathan Byers, okay?
You sound like a white 50s dad. What are you doing, slutting around, Nancy? Get in here and take your old man's shoes off.
Do you remember when we hated Steve? We wanted Nancy to be with Jonathan. Now Jonathan is the most boring fucking person that's ever been on the show, and Steve is the king.
Couldn't be more vanilla. Steve's first problem is that outfit.
No, Steve is so cute in that outfit.
Gotta ditch the outfit.
I love him so much.
Okay. No, you're not being objective. Number one, ditch the outfit. Number two, I read this self-help book once, and it was like, you are basically who you surround yourself with. So, like, I'm joking, but that is, like, a thing. He surrounded himself with children, like you said.
Yes.
So, but who are all these people? Did he even have any friends?
No, because he was popular. Remember, he was, like, cool. Like, he knew a lot of people, and he was, like, dating, like, Nancy.
Oh, that's right. He was a popular kid.
Yes.
Got it.
And so I'm not saying he specifically knows these people, but I'm saying in general, like his character has changed so much and he's been through a lot. And I imagine it's difficult to be like, wow, I used to be a cool kid and people wanted to date me and I was going to be going to college and doing all these things. And now he's stuck scooping ice cream and letting his kid friends into movies for free. And, you know, hanging out with freaking Robin, who's cool. We like Robin. I like Robin. Not that anyone knows her yet.
I don't.
You probably don't even know she had a name.
She seems funny. Like, I like the cut of her jib so far, busting his balls. So, it's almost like it's like the guy who's like 38 that wears his Letterman jacket. And you're like, high school was a while ago, though.
I'm trying to relive those glory days.
Yeah. But I can
before the upside down ruined his life.
Bet you can throw a pass over the mountains. but no, he's luckily he's not far removed from high school. I mean, it's not like he's.
It's just like the summer before he would be going to college,
right?
Right?
Yeah, he's got the deflating cool factor.
Not to me.
Not to you.
To me, his coolness shines through.
Is it the neckerchief that does it for you, or the hat?
It's the hat. It's that Scoops Ahoy hat.
Let me tell you something. As a former ice cream scooper myself.
Did you wear that hat?
No.
That's unfortunate.
No. I listened to Pearl Jam and scooped ice cream with my brother. That's what we did.
That sounds about right to me.
Oh, shit.
Did you flirt with girls and ask them if they wanted the Cherry's Jubilee or?
Oh, yeah.
Some extra sprinkles on that?
Some girls are like, just $2 for that scoop. Instead of $3 for that scoop.
Wow. No wonder why Karen Ann's didn't make a profit. You're giving away free ice cream. Jesus. The truth comes out.
That's funny. Well, I think it's interesting. We're kind of setting Steve up to have an interesting season.
Steve always has an interesting
Jonathan
season.
Less so. But we'll see. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I know that we want to, I do want to check in on... Well, I guess let's just paint the underground oddness, because what we're doing is we're just catching up with our characters, establishing mm-hmm. where they are in their lives.
Yeah.
But then we also have to start slipping the hook through the through line. And the hook is Russian lab, contact with the upside down. I'm guessing around the same time period. I'm a little hazy on the details. 1986, I believe it said. We know that Dustin's going to get a Russian communication from his, what he calls Cerebro, which is the name of the computer the X-Men use.
Yeah, that was funny.
I know he's going to get a Russian communique, not in fact Susie, unless Susie's a Russian spy, which would be kind of ridiculous, but sure. And then we have...
And then like, oh, the show really jumped the shark here. Yeah. Susie's a Russian spy.
Dustin, I love you. I love you. Come to see me. Give you all secrets. But then you have all the rats...
Yep.
And then you have exploding rats.
I don't like the exploding rats at all.
And, of course, Billy getting dragged away at the end. So that's kind of the underlying thing.
Yes.
Let's talk about Will.
Okay.
I know we started with a little bit of Will, saying Will's sort of watching his... Poor Will can't catch a break.
I love Will.
Number one,
for him.
He gets kidnapped. Then he has to fight for his life through the underground. They have to
upside down.
Upside down. They have to torture him to where he, you know, remember with Joyce and they have him in the cave.
They had to hide him in that place so the monster wouldn't know where he was.
Yep.
It was like an exorcism.
It was like an exorcism with the black veins, which always creeps me out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets free and he's like, cool, I can be a kid again. And now everyone's sort of drifting away.
Like Dave, see... And this is the thing, and it makes logical sense that they are all where they are because they had all this time where Will was either like in the upside down and then going through the trauma of having experienced that and then still like being possessed and everything that he's gone through. Like he's still in that place he was when this first happened to him. Like he hasn't had a chance to go through a lot of the other like growing points that everybody else
has.
Good
point. Arrested you know what I mean? Development, you might say.
You, Jason Bateman, what if he was here right now? But yeah, he's in a different circumstance. He hasn't had really the chance to date and to just grow up. Like,
or maybe not even the desire yet. He just wants to go back to something normal.
Exactly.
He wants to play his game and hang out with his friends and have a normal life.
Exactly.
And that makes me really feel for Will. I feel for Will.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, this is why, this is, and then there's the other issue. There's the meta issue, which is what are they going to do with him? Right.
Yeah, that's a problem
too. He doesn't
too.
Have anything established yet. He's always just sort of been a victim.
Right. And that was the problem with like, you know, when you're actually in the second season introducing Will as like an actual character, it's like weird because
he has no arc.
Like he's your main person when the show starts but it's always been, Mike, who's been like your
yes.
leader and your main person, but everybody else has kind of had their storylines like with each other or with other people. Like, you know, you have Lucas finding the girlfriend and doing all these things. You have Dustin like working with Steve and getting close with him. And like, they all have like their own things. And Will's thing has always just been like, hey, these are my friends. And then also like this thing is like coming for me.
For sure.
Like he's younger. He's not younger than them, but he is.
Yes,
you know?
Arrested Development.
Yeah.
And he's never had an arc. He's never had an aha moment. He's just been surviving.
Right.
And now that he's survived, he probably, I'm projecting now, but he probably wants some semblance of normalcy.
Right. And everybody else is just in a different place than him.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which happens. And it's so funny because it is true. And they do a good job of it. You're right. Like that type of thing is like, there's so much anxiety around that. Like when you're, when you're growing up and as people like mature at different rates and start to be, you know, interested in different things and at different times, it's weird how friendships are affected.
It's hard. And I wasn't joking when I said I can feel that sense of anxiety in watching this, because I remember distinctly feeling like, wow, these people that I spent day upon day upon day were all drifting apart, myself included. Like, you know, I moved a few times and it's an interesting moment to reflect on as an adult, because there's always the, when you're sitting down to play that game with your friends, you do whatever, it could be the last one for like a decade.
Yeah.
You have no fucking idea. And that's crazy to think about. You know, even us, we're doing the Harlow Falls. We sat down to do that probably 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's already been that much time. Like the time just flies.
Mm-hmm.
And at that age, it's funny when you reflect back on a summer or two summers, it felt like a decade.
Forever at the time. Right. Yeah.
And now when you look at it, like it's such a small blip in your life, but it feels like everything in those moments.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, that I'm not saying I'm going to be anxious about watching the show. I'm just saying I felt that pang of like, ooh, that feeling sucks.
Yep.
I remember that feeling very distinctly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious as to what that's going to do, if anything, as it relates to the story going forward for the rest of season three.
Yeah.
But what else do you want to get to?
I mean, who else do I have to talk about?
I think that's pretty much all of it.
I guess Hopper and Joyce, pretty much.
Yeah.
Our parents.
Yeah.
The other parentals that aren't banging teenagers.
Let's get to the, yeah. not the kid fucking parade that we've had put before us.
Hopper wants no kids doing anything sexual, okay?
Yeah. What do you think of what of Hopper's dialogue and how they wrote Hopper episode one?
I think that they struggle a little with him in this episode.
I agree.
And I don't think that they did it right. Because I think there are moments where I'm like, okay. Like, cause I get how he feels. He gets a teenage kid basically out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No, of course.
Already lost a kid. Like, that's the thing he feels. He's a single parent. He's a single dad to a girl. Like, that's difficult, and he doesn't quite know how to go about parenting in the correct way, which is fine, and I'm not against that storyline. I think it makes sense for him.
Me too.
I just feel like in some of the moments they took it a little too like caricature-y.
Very comedic, very
in a way it didn't need to be. Like even when he brings like Mike in the car and he's like, listen, this is the stuff I'm gonna like, I can understand if I understand him not being able to talk to them in that moment, because that's how he is and it's awkward for him to have a conversation like that. But I think it was out of character to a degree, or I don't know. It was just, it didn't like feel like right to me.
It felt kind of like the writer, whoever was writing this particular aspect of this particular episode, was being too much of a writer. Like there's too much like, we're trying to be funny.
And it doesn't need to be, because I liked his moment with Joyce where she was trying to tell him what to do and like was practicing with him. Like that was all cute. And I like that when he sat down to talk to them, he couldn't do it because it's just so, goes so against him.
Right.
But then him getting in the car and like threatening Mike, I'm like,
too much.
I didn't need that. Like that was a bit much.
You know what it is?
And they're making him seem so sloppy.
They're making him seem sloppy. What it is to me is they are taking him, and what they're doing now is they're saying like, here's the character he has become. Now we're going to write for that character.
Right.
And I'm like, no, you can't do that. Just trust the actor to take care of the way he's going to deliver the lines and the way he's going to get shit done.
And he'll be good. And he'll be funny.
And he'll be funny. Don't write it super. Don't try to write funny for him. He's already funny enough. Just let it be. And by all means, he's awesome. He delivers quite a few strong moments in this when he actually sits down to talk to them and stuff. But like you said, I liked him calling Mike an arrogant prick or whatever. That was hilarious. I like that he's making fun of the kid already. That's great. But yeah, I do think it's a little, it feels like it's reaching, it's extending its grasp, so to speak.
Right.
And but I'm sure it'll iron itself out. It's just a bit of a slump as we're dealing with all of a sudden from season 2 to 3. All of a sudden, everything changes just in puberty. It's so weird. Mm-hmm. Like all of these things have now been shifted around a little bit, and it's awkward for the viewer, and it's a little bit awkward probably for him. I mean, like you said, the parent stuff makes sense. I also agree with you where, yes, a storyline about him not being sure how to parent makes sense, but don't overwrite it.
Yeah, I just think they're trying too hard and they're making him, like, I don't know. Like, I think they're, like, leaning into the character too much.
Yes.
Instead of just letting him be, like, human.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Yep.
That's what I think about.
Shout out to Day of the Dead, which was shown. That was really cool. And, yeah, it's a good setup, I think. I think it's important when you have a gap between seasons, especially for me. What helped me about this episode was they went really heavy on the soundtrack. They probably don't need to buy the rights to every song, every episode. That's not necessary to relive every
song.
They're
like, but it's the '80s.
We get it. It's the '80s. Like they're pushing it a little. They're pushing it a little, but in my case, because of the layoff, that worked for me because it started to set me right back in the mood, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I've had a long layoff. Like I said, the last episode we recorded was in December of 2017,
right,
which means I haven't seen it since December of 2017, the last episode. So it's been 3 years. Well,
two
not
years.
Really, two years and a few months. And I needed to be thrust back into what was going on here. So I do appreciate that, but it is, I'm like, all right, we're pushing the fact, we know it's the 80s, we get it. You don't have to smash us over the head with the song. Every scene gets this cool song, you know?
Although you were singing along.
Singing along to Ari Speedwagon. That's something I'll never live down.
I think it's tough too, because it just like in the show too, it's like 1 year later and like how to handle your characters and like where they are.
True.
So that you don't feel like...
I didn't even catch that. So it's been 1 year.
Yeah.
Good
and, to know. And I think that is, they got it because they're growing up so fast.
Our children.
But I think I think it's good. It's a gap because then also one of the big things is like you don't have to go over someone's like mourning period for somebody.
Sure.
Like,
oh,
because
great
of dealing
point.
With like Joyce.
Yes.
Like it's really, really hard to have something like that happen and then to have to actually handle her storyline through like grief.
Yes, I'm with you.
And they're doing it in like such a smart way where it's been a year. So it's enough time where it's not like she's like, you know, in the actual
sobbing
in those moments of grief, but in the, you know, we still have the drawing of like Bob on the wall and she like will touch it like in everything like that. She still watches the shows and thinks about him and she's clearly so lonely. And it's funny because I'm also like rewatching 6 Feet Under right now.
Good pivot and, to Joyce, by the way. I appreciate
that. I'm rewatching 6 Feet Under right now, and the character of Ruth, who is the mother in the show, the show does such a good job of showing you that Ruth is lonely and she just wants to be a part of her kids' lives and to have something, but she also like isn't going to settle for something that's like not like the right thing for her.
Sure.
And they do such a good job, and it is that scene of sitting and eating alone that for some reason like makes me so emotional. And I just watched an episode of 6 Feet Under where Ruth did the same thing. No one was home. She went and made herself a meal all by herself and sat down to eat by herself. And I was like, this is like painful because they do such a good job of being like, this person is lonely. And I feel like they did the same exact thing for Joyce in like this episode where they're like, Joyce is okay. She's being a good parent. She's holding it together. She's being a friend to Hopper, but she's also lonely.
Yes.
It's been like a long year for her. You know?
Yes. And, you know, I like the fact that you bring up the dinner piece because that's where we see the quick flashback, which I actually didn't mind in this.
I
didn't mind. Seeing Samwise was nice.
Yeah,
but it was, you know, I like what you're saying there about the fact of eating alone. As a culture, that's we're always amongst people when we eat. You know, a lot of times, I mean,
family dinners
yeah.
and like that type of thing. And you know, we've obviously, and you know, she's remembering like sitting on the couch and watching the show and eating with Bob. And you know, she's still functioning. She's doing whatever. It's been a year since he died, but you know, it's still.
I'll tell you, a good gathering for a meal is something I appreciate because I didn't have that. Like spending most of my time in Florida with a single mother who works second shift a lot, I was like a latchkey kid. I was just like, hey, I guess mom's like, oh, there's something wrapped up in the fridge for you when you get home from school. So I ate alone a ton.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind it. That's why I can do it now, but I do appreciate it.
It's different when you have like that family type of like, because, and I now will eat alone a lot more, I feel like, but like in general, like growing up, like we always had dinner, like at least the sisters would sit down at the dinner table together.
That's cool. Like, that's how it is in my dad's house.
You know, so
very old school.
It was always like, and you know, especially when you're young, it was like you all sit down, you eat dinner at this time. This is how it is. Like, yeah, period.
Yeah.
If you don't finish your meal, you don't get a fucking Oreo cookie. So,
whoa, oh, Jesus!
You finish your food.
Do you want to land on the couch and work some emotions out about the Oreos with me while we're here?
No, the it was drinking your milk before you could have dessert was a true struggle for me because I do not like milk.
This explains your hatred of milk. Your completely unreasonable hatred of it.
I have a lot of terrible childhood memories of being forced to drink milk before I could leave the table.
I didn't think you were going to make it through that first episode of Westworld. All the milk mixed with blood. Blech. Yeah. Well, so anyway. I do want to talk about of two people that I'm greatly interested in figuring out what happens. Number one, I love Lucas. Here's why. Because he's so fucking loyal. Lucas is such a loyal kid. Like, we saw that in the last season.
Yep.
We're seeing it again. He's with his friends. There is this interesting romantic tension between him and Max.
They're together. They're a couple.
Officially?
They're boyfriend, girlfriend.
Facebook official?
Yes.
I'm joking.
They're Facebook official boyfriend and girlfriend.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
They kissed at the end of last season at the dance.
Well, I didn't know that meant anything.
Well, when you're in 13 and you kiss someone on the mouth, you're in a relationship and you're in love and you're probably going to get married, Dean.
Yeah, for 2 weeks. It's been a year.
Sometimes it lasts for months, okay?
A 13-year-old kiss, they're still together a year later. They're better than 36-year-olds I know.
That's also true.
Okay.
That's a valid point that you just made.
So it's not a fucking impossible observation I just made.
Well, I think they're boyfriend and girlfriend currently.
All right. Fair enough. So assuming that they are currently boyfriend and girlfriend, I like that they aren't doing they're not like head in the clouds like 11 and Mike. Like 11 and Mike are boring immediately.
They're boring.
They bore me. Because I think the show works on the dynamic of the kids being together. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the struggle is as they mature, they're not going to want to just be like, hey, we're a bunch of 17-year-olds and hang out together. Like, they're going to want to do other shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, the impending breakup, as it were, of the whole friend group, let alone the couples, is the anxiety I feel.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about. But that's why I love Lucas, because Lucas and Max are there. Like, they're there with their friends. They're entertaining Dustin. They're there for him. Even though they complain and they hem and haw a little bit.
They still go.
That's what kids do. They still go.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm really curious as to what is going to be. I'm wondering where the show will go with Max and Lucas as a couple, assuming they are, and as individuals. That's really interesting to me. Dustin seems to be getting set up for something interesting. Like, part of me thinks like Eleven's just going to be there to like blow shit up when they need her to at this point, because she's already had her very interesting stuff.
That's all we really need from her. No, just kidding.
Right.
And, I feel like Bobby Brown is such a good actress.
And Finn's going to be like, oh no,
his
I love
name
you.
Is Mike Wheeler.
Whatever. So yeah, I feel like I have high hopes for Dustin because he's almost becoming the epicenter of this. He's alone. He's like the anchor of the friend group at this point. Will sort of has this, what am I trying to say? I don't want to say, aloof is definitely the wrong word. He almost has this weird dreamlike way about him. Like, where is he going to fit in and what's this all mean?
He's just a little bit outside of everything.
Yes, thank you. That's the better way to say it. Whereas Dustin feels like the anchor now. Mm-hmm. Before, Mike was the anchor.
And he's
keeping
not anymore,
everyone
yes.
together.
It's always Mike. And now
he's
not.
Gone. Mm-hmm. Yes, I feel like that is now Dustin. And Lucas has always been close to Dustin. And now Max is in the equation and she seems to fit right in because she's cool. Like I like her. I like the way she behaves. She mm-hmm. fits right into the group.
Right.
So I'm wondering about how that's going to go. Of course, there's always going to be tension between Hopper and Joyce. I'm assuming that's going to end romantically. I don't really know.
I ship Hopper and Joyce always, but I also love Bob Newby. So I don't want to shame his memory.
Oh,
but he's dead.
He's certainly dead.
I am now going to ship Hopper and Joyce again. Also, Joyce is really pretty.
Yeah.
Like, how is Winona Ryder prettier now than she's ever been?
No, she's not, but she's still pretty.
She is to me.
I fucking, Trust me, I studied her catalog.
I'm sure you did.
Extensively.
I'm sure you did.
But I told you that my sister tricked me into watching Little Women because she said Winona Ryder got naked at the end. And I didn't know what Little Women was. So I was like, all right, we can watch it. Because I was the big brother. And I was like, we are an hour into this, Nicole. And she's like, no, it's coming up.
Oh my God, I can't believe good for Nicole.
Pretty good trick. We were all sitting at home, all the kids. But
all the kids waiting for all boobs.
That. Yeah, man. What a good influence I was.
Clearly.
But so anyway, yeah, so I those are kind of my expectations. I don't know what to expect with the whole Russian thing. At first I thought I wasn't thinking clearly on the dates, and I was like, oh, did the Russians create the gateway to the Upside Down, or do they just create their own gateway to the Upside Down? I don't know what this all means. I'm curious about it, except I like the idea that this Russian Darth Vader guy chokes the guy to death, throws him on the ground. Of course, they're showing them as quite evil. Russia was no friend of the Americas in the 80s, so it'll be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out. Hopefully, the guys doesn't get like too big and political and world-like. Stranger Things works on a smaller scale. The Russians is cool because it's the 80s, but let's not get too big into like politics and shit. Let's keep it out of that. So I don't know. I'm not sure what to expect, but I think it's a good start and I'm excited.
I just want to comment on like Dean with like the Russian stuff is we're watching the episode and like they've talked a bunch and then goes back to the Russians talking later. At one point, Dean goes, what did he just say? I'm like, Dean, they're speaking Russian. Like, what do you want me to do? Repeat it in Russian? Like, oh my God.
Well, did I tell you why? Because I thought he said something in English. Oh. I was like, what did he just say? And then I realized, obviously, I knew they were speaking.
If you watch
Russian
the subtitles, they actually tell you what they're saying in English. So we probably should have done that because Dean has it playing right now and the subtitles are up and they
are in
English translation.
That didn't even occur to me.
Yeah, I know. You always watch subtitles. So we really messed up there.
I know.
Whoa. Too bad none of us speak Russian.
This was Jessica there in the Russian bar. I like his hat.
I did. I liked his hat. Okay.
That was her contribution.
I like some of the Russians. They seem like cool guys I like to hang out with.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe. All right. Maybe they are.
I think you should be arraigned as a spy. Okay. Crimes against the United States of America.
That's fine.
But no, good start. Good intro. I'm pumped to be back to Stranger Things. And yeah, I guess we're going to just kind of do it like this going forward. We'll do one episode per episode of the show until we wrap it up. What are there, 10?
I think so, but right. I don't know, to be honest.
There'll be one per ep, put it that way. And there may be guest appearances. I've already been asked by Matt if he could jump in on a couple.
Oh, look at Matt just jumping right on in, yeah. Trying to, he's like, I got to get in on that Stranger Things glory.
Yep, he's like, oh, I have so much to say about it.
Oh, God. No, just kidding.
I said, what, that you like the hammer and sickle, you commie? Just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm teasing him.
Matt's going to come and he's going to be like the Russian like apologist. He's going to be like, the Russians are the true heroes of Stranger Things season 3. Yeah, because Matt's already watched it all, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm the only unspoiled dude at this point. But I have high hopes for the Duffer Brothers, and I'm glad to be back at it with a little Susie, do you copy? And that's that.
That is.
I don't know. We do this for recommissioned, we do listener comments, but I don't think there's any way to really do it because our schedule, we're not sure how this is going to go. Are we promising one a week at least?
At least one a week.
At least
definitely.
One a week.
I think there will be points where we can definitely do more than one a week. But
and should we, what day should we drop them on? Tuesdays?
Oh, whatever day you want to drop them on.
Probably Tuesdays because let's just go with Tuesdays.
Okay.
Because I do a lot of LSG work on Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday at the latest, so
I do a lot of working at my regular job on Tuesdays, so.
Word up.
I hear you.
But that gives us time to record at any time after Tuesday.
Or before Tuesday, however you look at it.
However you look at it. Damn, that's the upside down right there. All right, well, it's good to be back. Hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the Hawkins Report, Stranger Things podcast. I had a blast, and we are going to get out of here. Tell the good people goodbye, Jessica.
Goodbye, good people.
Thank you very much for tuning in to another edition of the Hawkins Report, a Stranger Things podcast by LSG Media. Don't forget to visit us on the web at LiveryStreetGeek.net. That's LiveryStreetGeek.net.